on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. In the house, we've got the Game Caller and the Reggae Warrior, Michael Gledle and Ross Peltier, respectively. Hey boys, how's it going?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, good evening, wow. West Yorkshire.
Look at you guys, you've got an actual paper.
Yeah, paper media.
Do people still buy these things?
Yep.
Who brought that in?
Oh, guess.
Mick, obviously. Wow, look who wrote this. I don't know who this person is.
No comment.
He's been missing for months.
He's been missing everywhere.
Missing in action is our Aaron Bauer. I think we're going to play out with that for the next couple of weeks anyway. Still keep the faith with the boys. They might be back. They might not. How's your weekend been going, boys? How was your week? How was your weekend?
Mick had a terrible day yesterday.
I know that. Soccer game?
Yeah, he wasted all his time going out with London. Watched Tottenham get beat 7-2. So, Pink Mick's had a bad week so far.
I went to Old Trafford on Monday night, and that was even worse. You know, a goal apiece. The weather was horrendous, non-stop rain, and you know that game was billed up as, you know, this is one of the season-defining games, and it went down like a damp squib.
Sorry, so who do you support again?
Tottenham,
the Hotspurs.
Mm. Tottenham Hotspur, yes.
Okay.
So there is a rugby league Tottenham link. So the new ground is called the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and that will host the first Ashes Test next year, England against Australia. Wow.
Mm. Okay.
It's not been announced
yet. Their new stadium.
Yes.
Oh, nice one.
It's not been announced yet, Robbie, but obviously I've got connections I've got connections at Tottenham, and you know, the RFL, Ralph Rimmer, Matt Foster, they've all been down to look at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
People are going to stop telling you things if you keep saying it live here on air.
No. Look, it's my job to ask questions and find the information out. So
it is, but I'm sure that the media departments at these organisations would like to have control of that actual announcement. But hey, I'm not going to stop you. You're doing it here live on the show, so it's all good.
It's come out this afternoon that the Magic Weekend's going back to Newcastle, so...
Yep.
So, you know...
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that. Don't jump ahead, Michael. Let's talk about Tottenham and how terribly they're doing.
No, we won't. No, we'll leave it at that.
But on the note of you being able to share cutting and breaking news before actually anyone else does, before it's official. Luke Gayle situation was made official yesterday, wasn't it? I mean, yesterday morning, Castleford said that they had let go of Luke Gayle for an undisclosed fee. And then, obviously, yesterday afternoon, it was announced that Luke will be joining Leeds Rhinos. Have they disclosed the fee? Because Ross, you said a number to me, but I don't know.
Like 100 and something. I've seen it floated about on social media, but
I've not seen the contract. But I'm led to believe it's about £150,000.
See, I said all around that, mate.
Yeah, you weren't far off.
And it's good business for Castleford because they've got Danny Richardson from St Helens for 75. So you know, they've got a younger player, a younger model, and they've got 75 grand. Mm. You know, on top of the new player.
Is that good? I would argue for me, Luke Gayle. This is the thing, isn't it? He hasn't played in so long. Mm. Luke Gayle for me is a much more expensive player than that.
Agreed.
When he's been on the field, which he hasn't really been on over the last couple of years, he is world class, and he's probably the best halfback that the game has. English halfback. Well, English. That's a funny name. English born or actual were Hastings and they're born in Australia?
Yeah.
But, you know, one that came through the British system anyway, he's number one. Cannon of a boot. I like it as a signing. I just think they could have got more for him. maybe there wasn't more to be had, and they're thinking to the future. Jake Truman's coming of age now. He's played brilliantly in the back half of this season. He really seems to have matured. He's not afraid of taking the line on, which I like to see. He's more of a sure bet, but what you don't get is that cunning boot that you've got that Luke Gale has. I think people underestimate the power of the boot and what that does to defensive lines, because you can have an absolutely rubbish attack, and your halfback, as we've seen with Huddersfield Giants and Wakefield, when Danny Brough's been at his best, can absolutely change the whole outlier of a set and the direction of a game just by changing momentum. There's nothing worse than if you're a forward and you've ramped up for five tackles and you've pinned the opposition in your own quarter, to have one of these halfbacks step up and cannon the ball down right, and you've got to run a good 70 metres back to get it lined up again. Talk about it.
I always remember back in the old reserve grade system, we went Knowsley Road, curtain raiser down there, and we was absolutely hammering Saints, keeping them within that. They couldn't make it out of their 10, but Lee Gaskell just booted it dead in our in goal from his 10, and we had to run all the way back. That was before seven tackle sets as well. You had to run all the way back down, get behind ball, tap it, come on. That's all they did all day.
And that's what Castleford don't have at the moment. Yeah. They haven't got that boot. And the boot, I think for too often we overlook, we look at the stats on the line breaks, the passing game. But actually, in my experience over the years, I've just seen the guys that have got the boot have kept themselves in a living. I've seen some absolutely rubbish players that can actually kick well, but it's so integral. You tell the forwards you can go into the teeth of it and you can make 10, 15 metres an entire set. And the difference someone that just steps up and boots the ball down makes to the momentum of what you get into the game of. It's just...
Yeah, I think as well with Cass, with Danny Richardson going now, I think a lot of responsibility is going to be put on through his shoulders now. He's going to have to step up, I think. I don't think Danny Richardson's an halfback who's going to lead the team. I think he plays off the back of another halfback. So, Jake Truman's going to have to basically run that squad now, and he's quite a young lad, and he's basically, they've put the faith in him, and he's going to have to take Cass forward really now, and that's going to be him.
And he's the type of player that actually you can build a squad around.
Yeah.
I mean, Mick, you would have seen a lot of them as a junior player before he left Bradford Bulls to go. What are your thoughts on Jake Truman?
Yeah, well, it's amazing when you think of how young he is, and he's up for the Super League Young Player of the Year after playing all them Super League games. He's not the finished article, he's still very raw. And to quote the legend that was Danny Maguire, his passing, he says, out of all the players in Super League, there's only really Jacob Truman who has got that articulated ability that could outpass that can miss two, three, four, five players out. And one thing that Luke Gale leaving Castleford to Leeds, I know you talk about the kicking, but you've also got the rugby brain, you've also got that game management brain. And it'll be interesting to see what Darryl Powell deals with Jake Truman and Danny Richardson. They're both young players. They've got a great future ahead of them, but they won't have that game management brain because they won't have that experience of being in, situation A, situation B.
It is. I like the idea, the concept of it, though. I do like it because, with two young players, you can really encourage them to go and express themselves. Given the way Cass plays, that typical Cass, classy Cass type of style. I love how Darryl Powell is really, in effect, being able to take it to another level. And I think it's been, I'd like to see that with those two young players. Unleash them, give them free rein, get them, try to encourage them to learn to play off one another and, really bring the best out of each other. And then, because with the tools that they've both got, they could really complement one another. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. What are your thoughts on how Gale will improve Leeds Rhinos?
Well, straight away, you look at Leeds Rhinos this season, it's an area where they've really struggled. And, we talk about the kicking, the game management, Luke Gayle, you're probably going to say he's going to have a full season. I know that if Castleford had beaten Salford on Thursday, he potentially would have, you know, been able to come back this weekend against Wigan. So he's going to have a full off-season off. He's going to be fit, hopefully injury-free. And you just look at Luke Gayle, there's the leadership there. And, you know, there's so many skill assets that, you know, Richard Agar is going to be able to utilise. And I think ultimately, Robbie, you know, Luke Gayle is coming towards the end of his career, although he won't like me saying that. But you look at a young player in Callum McClelland, you know, Luke Gayle is going to be there as a tutor. He's going to be able to rub off all that experience on young Callum McClelland, because, you know, the way Callum McClelland's playing at the minute for Featherston and what Featherston have achieved so far this season, especially in the playoffs, you know, is phenomenal. And, you know, I think Luke Gayle is going to be there as obviously to get Leeds back up there in the top five next season, but also further down the line, he's going to be, you know, mentoring and offering that guidance and support to Callum McClelland to hopefully kick Callum McClelland onto to the next level, which we'll see. Callum McClelland playing first-team rugby league at the Leeds Rhinos.
All right. Okay, you heard it there. Well, I like the idea. I think they've missed Luke Gayle at Leeds Rhinos this year. A little bit of direction, big boot.
Yeah, leadership direction.
And someone that can take the line on, you know, and actually on the front foot. Likes to go north to south as opposed. Luke Gale's not quick enough off the mark to go, you know, to go east to west and then straighten up. What he does, he goes at the line and he stops the lines from sliding because you've got to deal with him. And he can break the line too. He's powerful enough to get through the line. Just really, really, really disappointed for him that in the prime of his career, this has happened to him. So unlucky. So unlucky.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live at the Pulse 2 studio with Mick Gledhill and Ross Peltier. We've got a question from HomeDog85. He's on social media. He said, "Evening, boys. As we know, the Bulls have lost some talent over the years. If you had to choose one, who would that be?" Now, I think we've got to talk about not just players that have come. I think players that have come through the system at Bradford. Came through the system, was nurtured and reared in the system, maybe made it into the first team, but then left for whatever reason. Who would you guys bring back? So, who would you bring back? Maybe can be a player that's retired, and who would you bring back a player that's still playing? Actually, no, just still playing.
If he's still playing, after this season he's had, I have to say John Bearman, you know, after the season he's had right now.
He's got a Daly M back row.
So, like, out of everybody, you know, come through the academy and through the system at Bradford, I think he's the standout one. You know, him and Elliot White are doing amazing things. If there's one player you could have back, I wish never left at the time, I'd say Leon, because when he went Saints, he was absolutely flying, you know.
It was. If it he'd was have stayed, massive, yeah, massive,
he
massive
was flying. Loss. And, you know, if he'd have stayed at Bradford, you know what I mean, that would have been a big loss, I think.
Well, if you're saying Leon, I'm going to say Jamie Peacock, because I remember Chris Casely's programme notes and he was like, you know, look, Jamie Peacock is past it, he's finished, you know, this is great business. But what did Jamie Peacock do for the next 8 years?
Killed it.
Look what he did at Leeds Rhinos.
Well, he resurrected his career, didn't
six
he?
Six grand final wins, and it was like a fine wine. He just kept ageing and ageing and getting better as he went on. So I think, you know, if a player who's no longer playing, it would be Jamie Peacock. And I'll have to echo Ross. It would have to be John Bateman. I don't think we ever got to saw the best of John Bateman at Bradford. I remember watching his debut in 2010, a Boxing Day game against Halifax, and Bradford beat Halifax 52-16 that day, and Bateman scored two tries, and you just knew, looking at John then as a 17-year-old, he was so raw.
He was free.
It was, Robert, you know, and he had what Oliver Wilson, who's gone to Huddersfield, who left the Bulls mid-season, you know, that drive, that determination, you know, you take a big hit, but you don't feel sorry for yourself, or you don't sort of like go back into your shell and be a little bit cowardly. You know, you want more of it. You're like, give me that ball and I want to get, you know, my revenge. And that's what John's got. He's got that real sort of Bradford edge. And I think it's a shame what happened with John having to go to Wigan. But at the same time, you know, look what John Bateman's achieved. you know, this year is phenomenal. And you know, to think, you know, he used to grow up over the road from Dudley Hill, Parry Lane, and now he's playing in a grand final on Sunday morning. You know, wow, you know, he's living the dream, is John Bateman. I mean, how many people from Bradford can say, you know, they've achieved what John Bateman's done, to be, you know, playing in front of 90,000 people in Sydney on Sunday morning.
And be recognised by the competition as the best back row in the competition.
Yeah.
Just a quick hello to, who's it? Just Flanagan, yeah.
Is that Mr. George Flanagan?
George Flanagan, yeah. Georgie boy. He's just did a little bit of a shout out to Ross. I thought you were meeting us for a feed pouts. You lie again.
I tell you what, George, if you're talking about food, once I've finished here, I'll come and meet you and we'll have some food.
We had a, and this probably sort of goes with what I'm going to say. So we had Snap coming in via the Pulse 2. Is that the app? By the Pulse of App, bring back Sam Burgess and his three brothers. Because you guys both went for John, and obviously John's the, and don't get me wrong, I'm a massive, massive fan of John Bateman's. I will go with Sam. I would have said John, but you guys said John. Mm. So I'm going to go with Sam. Sam at his prime, obviously, he was awesome when he left the Bulls.
Yeah.
But then he just got better and better over the next prevailing, 8 years? He's just gone from strength to strength down there at South Sydney, and probably in the middle part, just before he came back to rugby union, that little stint of rugby union that he did, that's Sam Burgess. Have him back.
Do you remember the, I forget the...
Just before
I forget. The New Zealand player. But, just,
yeah, yeah. Fui Mui Mui. That went viral, didn't it? But I just wanted to say on Jamie Peacock and what Chris Casely said, I think that was a little bit of PR there by Chris. JP wanted to go play for Leeds. He grew up as a Leeds Rhinos supporter. He's a Stanley boy. He grew up, you know, watching that rugby league and living and breathing that rugby league, and he wanted to go back home. And that's, but I think we can be proud in the fact that we nurtured him, we developed him, and the Bulls are the reason why he's that good. I'm sure that the Rhinos will say something differently, but no, it's all about the Bulls. But you know what I loved about JP when he went across to Leeds Rhinos is that he had to reinvent himself as a front rower, and that took time. If anyone remembers that first year and a half that he had at the Rhinos, making that transfer from the back row to the front row, man, he was getting loads of grief off Leeds supporters, just saying, just not that good, he's not good enough. He had to redesign his game. He was a wide-ranging, probably quick, wide-ranging back rower that was used to running, you know, running at halfbacks and stuff like that. Now he had to change his game to become attritional, look at doing more than one hit up, a set, as well as the defense. You know, when you were playing on the edges, as Ross will know, be able to tell you because he used to play center, so very different to being the target in the middle of the field and having to do all those shuttle runs where you're constantly got so much action going on. That's why they have all these rests. And that's what he had to adjust his game. He had to learn how, and people think it's simple. It's the same game or they're on the same field, but it's so different. You have to learn how to conserve your energy differently. And that's what that took the time. That's exactly what took the time. Okay, so thank you very much. That was from HomeDog85. Cheers, lads. I'm a Wire fan. Miss the old Bulls with the razzmatazz and the tanks going around the pitch. Cheers, HomeDog, for being a part of it. And just encourage you guys, if you've got the Pulse 2 app, get in touch that way as well. There's so many ways in which we can communicate.
I just remember I had some... you know, some sad news for the boys. Harvey Burnett, who played for Bradford in 2018. You know, great lad. Used to be at London Broncos. He's just been diagnosed with cancer. And I think Bulls have just... Yeah, they've put his Just Giving page. I just remembered. Yeah, so Bradford have reposted his Just Giving page. I think myself and a few of the lads have all retweeted his Just Giving page. If any of you believe fans, you know, help him out and just give to charity at this time. You know, I think he's doing loads to raise money, but, you know, it's sad to see a young lad, right, what, 25, you know, going through a tough time. So, yeah, if everyone finds it on social media, you know, I think we'll try and retweet it maybe off the postal page, but, yeah.
Yeah, tell every sad news when that came out yesterday. You know, nobody wants to hear or see that news, and, you know, we wish Harvey Burnett, from everyone here at the Pulse, you know, all the best, and you know we'll certainly do our best to hopefully, you know, raise as much money as possible on the Just Giving page.
On that note, I've just reposted Harvey Burnett. Everyone's reposted it now, and we'll do that. If you want to check out any of our platforms, you'll be able to go through to the Just Giving page there now, and you can show your support and donate. And yeah, let's give them all our love and all of our cheer as well. So good luck. Good luck, Harvey. Okay, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be talking about Toronto Wolfpack, a big game this weekend against Featherstone. No one's really talking about Featherstone, but also Toronto have been given the green light to join the Super League if they're successful Saturday night.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the reggae warrior Ross Peltier and the game caller Mick Little. Boys, a couple more updates. We've got Stuart Glover. He knows his rugby league. He says the two best New Zealand players ever, Henry and Robbie Paul. Knows his rugby league is our Stuart.
Oh, you're
not related to him anyway.
Robbie, when I think back to like 1999, 2000, Murray Fields, you know, I don't want to blow smoke.
Keep going, keep talking, though. Keep telling me.
You know, those were very special times to be a Bradford fan.
I love it. That's the only reason why he's invited on the show. Okay, because Pelz was too young.
That's when I just started really liking rugby league.
What's your thoughts on the possibility of Sonny Bill Williams joining Toronto Wolfpack in the Super League next year just to watch them in the World Cup today? Look, he just watched them in the World Cup today. New Zealand pumped Canada.
Yeah.
Which is the Henry link there is Henry's assistant coach. Mm. He's a defensive coach.
Did well.
70 points put on them.
You can't defend that.
You can't defend that.
You can't defend that.
To be honest, they were lucky. New Zealand had the All Blacks had a case of the dropsies, to be honest.
Yeah.
On that note, though, we were picking up. We had Sandy Domingo, is it? I think that's your surname, Sandy. Toronto Wolfpack fan. She's a Toronto lass that lives in Leeds. She's saying finally given the all clear for Super League. If we win Saturday, expect a full house at Lamport Stadium.
Yeah.
They nearly had a full house last time. That holds 10,000 people, as you've just informed me, Michael. Expect a full house, eh?
I think it is going to be a full house. Featherstone are taking 200 to 250, so I know they're fans, and this is the brave new world and the rugby league frontier that the fans are going to have to get used to when, you know, your transatlantic sides are in the playoffs. You know, last minute travel, which is frustrating, but hey, you know, if you're one of those 250 Featherstone fans on the flight there, you know, it's going to be amazing. You're through to the championship grand final.
How sober do you think their flight's going to be?
Going over.
Yeah, who's going to want to be the air stewardess on that flight?
Yeah, well, our flight when we went over, all Bradford fans were on our flight, and then everyone were very merry, and you know, there were a lot of people talking. It was when you
look
go
how
to toilet,
diplomatic he's been.
There were people grabbing you for questions, everything when you go to the toilet, and you know, obviously none of the lads could drink, and we were just like, oh, we should join.
No, it's the worst as well, like, you know, when everybody's in that let's say that socially lubricated phase of the evening and you're stone cold sober.
Yeah, you just try to watch a film and you get people tapping, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Hey, Rob. Hey,
but no, look. I think there's going to be a full house there. Why wouldn't there be a full house? You know, it's the championship grand final, and there's a place at Super League at stake.
And this game will actually be good.
Yeah.
Last year's game was absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, it was.
But Featherstone are playing well. Toronto are playing well. This is going to be a good game. You know, both well coached, both in the zone.
I think they played him, I think, over a month. You know, it was a close game, and that when Fev didn't have Chiz, you know, didn't have a few people who were firing now. And
everyone's firing for Fev.
Yeah.
They've got momentum. This is the thing that I wanted to pick up on, because everyone's talking, the talk has been about Toronto, Toronto, Toronto all year long, but momentum is hugely important in these types of situations. It is hugely important.
Yeah.
The pressure is all on Toronto.
Yeah, Brian McDermott, I totally agree.
And to think Fev only finished 1 point better than us this season, and the performances they've been putting in these playoffs, like, you know, when you hit the perfect form at the perfect time, that's what's happened with Featherstone. And
that makes it dangerous for Toronto.
Very, very dangerous.
But one thing no one's been talking about is Featherstone in the Super League and what that looks like. Everyone's talking about Toronto and the Super League. I've not heard anyone mention Featherstone in the Super League.
Well, the dual reg agreement with Leeds would have to cease immediately. Yeah. Those players like Callum McClelland, Alex Sutcliffe, Aston Golding, they will then have to become, you know, loanee players. But as we know, with Aston Golding going to the Huddersfield Giants and Alex Sutcliffe, there's rumours that he's going to be going to Wakefield potentially. You know, so they're not going to have that calibre of player next season.
Well, but they don't need it because they'll have the budget to buy a better calibre of player. But the only problem is,
are those players available right here?
That's what we're talking about, because all the cream of the crop from London have been... Yeah.
And it's one of them, you know, Fev started this season with, you know, I think it was like 10 players, and you know they rely heavily on Joe Reg and loan players and stuff like that. And if they find out this weekend?
It's Saturday.
So if they find out come this weekend, right, we need to go in Super League, most players have agreed deals or agreeing deals, so it could be very interesting.
Your mobile might be going, Ross.
Well, you know.
Don't want to take fate.
Need big donkeys in Super League.
But there is a downside.
He's
to
got
what,
a club though, Michael.
There is a downside to all this, Robbie, and you know, Toronto, to get the green light, they have had to make huge concessions. You know, so like for the championship, just an example, Toronto pay for 19 seats on the plane. That's now gone up to 26 for Super League, because the Super League clubs mourned and argued. Probably a fair point, you know, look.
I'm with them. You can't take 19 Super League players. There were 19 people from a Super League club. There's just so much more.
But, Robbie, on the flip side of that, and you mentioned this during the break, you know, Robert Elston and the Super League clubs, if Toronto do beat Featherstone, and let's not rule out Featherstone in any way, shape or form, they're going to take their 1.8 million central funding. So why isn't that 1.8 million central funding used for these extra places that are going to be required on the planes out to Toronto? All the Super League chairmen are doing is just rubbing their hands. Well, we're going to get an extra, you know, 200. That's what's really disappointing about this.
And really,
I feel sorry for
Bob. I'm with you on that.
David Argyle, you know, it doesn't show the sport in the best light.
No, I'm wholeheartedly with you on that. I don't agree to some of the things, but I do understand that. How much money have Toronto got? You know, you got to ask that question.
Yeah.
Well, and you're talking to, and like Stuart Glover was mentioning, it seems astronomical. It seems like no other Super League club would ever consider this type of investment that Toronto. So, how much money has this guy got? That's what I want to know.
If Ricky the Turner's wages out to go by, they've got to. If his one wage is enough.
Sonny Bill Williams, they're talking about the caliber of player like Sonny Bill Williams. Because with Sonny Bill, you don't just get a player with gifts, you get the brand. And that takes your brand to another level. And I guess that's what that's what we're talking about. How much money these guys got? We'll do 26 players.
David's got enough money to buy the entire Super League competition if he wants.
Do it, David.
That'd be absolute madness on his part.
But you think about it. You know, if you think about the American sports, so the NFL, and they make decisions that are sport-wide. They're controlled by a central group, and they make decisions and sacrifices that are sport-wide for the betterment of the sport. For too long, one of the biggest problems we've always had is that introspectively, individual clubs have made decisions or created pools of decisions for little sub-segments of the competition, not for the competition as a whole to flourish in becoming an increasingly tough, you know, money-free environment. You know, it's just football's suffocating everything. The American sports are doing much better at marketing themselves in this marketplace. So sports like rugby league have the, you know, the reality of looking at it could be sidelined and become like a even more niche than what it is at the moment.
It's self-interest, Robbie. I've said this for nearly a decade now. The problem with rugby league is self-interest. You remove self-interest out, the sport will grow tenfold. Unfortunately, you've got everybody, you know, looking after themselves and not thinking about the greater good and the growth of the sport as a whole rather than themselves.
So come on, David, buy the whole competition. we finally found a solution. Buy everything and start it all. That's what Rupert Murdoch did. with the Super League down under.
Yeah. I remember watching this one. Like,
everyone got paid then. Yeah. All the players got paid big time as well. I got a little nugget.
just a quick one. There will be no video referee in the grand final on Saturday.
That's ridiculous.
What?
There will be no video referee. I spoke with the RFL yesterday.
No, we'll come back to that. We've got to deal with that. What?
There's no video referee, guys.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live at the Pulse 2 studios with Mick Ledhill, the game caller, and Ross Peltier, the reggae warrior. And we're into the last segment of the show, and this is just absolutely flowing. When we look to come back, Mick's already threatening that we're going to take it to a two-hour show because we just don't get enough time to sink our teeth into it. So I had written out some talking points, so I'm just going to see which of these are the most important so we can go back into them. I've got to say this, in regards to the upcoming games this weekend, obviously we've just briefly spoken about Toronto hosting Featherstone, but the other game on has got to be, we've got to have a look at that, that's Wigan and Salford. Salford Reds are rising, they've got the momentum at the moment. But I just want to, before we get into Salford and Wigan, I just want to talk, what are your guys' thoughts on St. Helens and the pumping that they gave Wigan? Do you think that that was a good thing for them or a bad thing?
I think it was a good thing. Build the confidence now, you know, because last year, you know, did last year they went out in semis, you know?
Yeah, they lost to Warrington.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So last year, they didn't even make it grand final. Everyone tipped him. You know, it's Holbrook's last game for him. Yeah, I think that just cemented him with his, I think they got one hand on trophy now after that.
I'm going to say it's a bad thing. And that's based on experience. Mm. You look at the Bradford Bulls in 1999. We played St. Helens at Odsall in that grand final qualifier, and we thumped them 40-4.
Yep.
I think it was 26-0 at half time.
It was easy.
Poor Chris Smith, the St. Helens fullback, he knocked everything on. He couldn't catch a cold, bless him. And then you look what happened in that grand final in 99. You fast forward to 2007, St. Helens, they beat Leeds 36-8 at Knowsley Road, and then literally 2 weeks later, roles are reversed. Leeds win 33-6. I'm not saying that the form book dictates that that always happens, but I just think there could be a bit of complacency, a bit of overconfidence. And oh boy, if the grand final is a week on Saturday, St. Helens v Wigan, which I think it will be, then I'm telling you now, you know, there will be no 40-10.
So I'm with you on that to a certain extent. I think if, because you have that thing where you're lulled into a false sense of security.
That's it, we got this.
And what they don't have is the experience at grand final level. So they played in the cup final this year, but one thing that we hadn't learned in 1999, the Bradford Bulls, that successful squad with Henry in it and everything, which was a world-class squad, we hadn't learned how to win consistently on that big stage. And that took a mindset. We broke that duck. And by winning the Challenge Cup in 2000, we learned then what it takes to actually be an elite team that picks up silverware. And we did it every year for the next 7 years. I think it was 7 years collectively, all the way up to the World Club in 2006. So 2000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's seven years of success. Now, what I think would be the best thing for St. Helens is if Salford beat Wigan. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying that the best thing for them, because it gives them a fresh team to focus on. Whereas the last, the team that they play, if it is Wigan again, what they're doing is they're replaying through their mind's eye everything that they've already done. And Wigan won't be. So Wigan will be looking at the things that they did wrong and where they can break them down at. So they'll be looking at almost a new team and a new way of going about business, which is what Leeds did, and which is what Leeds did to St. Helens, and which is what St. Helens did to us in that cup final. Yeah, and we had a number of things going against us. We didn't know the mindset that it took for the full 17 players to turn up on the day. Two, we didn't prepare for a different type of St. Helens. We prepared for the same St. Helens that we had whipped And those things added to us just, well, in three, the third thing is they prepared for us. They had prepared, and they played a completely different way to what we expected, because still in our recent muscle memory and our mind's eye, we knew what we had to deal with. So that's where I think lies the danger for St. Helens. They haven't got enough experience at that silverware level yet to tackle Wigan without it being open and closed case type of thing. I think the best thing for them would be to play against Salford, because then they could take a complete fresh approach at it. But let's talk about that game first. So let's talk about Salford versus Wigan. The Salford Reds are rising. There's some momentum going behind those boys. If we're talking about Featherstone and momentum, there's some momentum going behind Salford at this point in time, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be another classic, just like the game or the other day, you know. And I think Salford will have that bit between the teeth, you know. They'll kind of be looking at it like you were saying, you know, they'll be looking at Wigan and why they lost and what they need to do to prepare. And yeah, I just see another massive game. I don't see a shutout like Ali Ahmed Kass. I feel it's going to be come down another 2 points. Who wins it, you know, after that performance against Kass? I was sure Wigan, if they lost the Saints, they'd do Salford again, but I can't really be sure now. So yeah, the door's wide open, and I'm just excited for that game, really.
I'm with Ross. You know, I think it's going to be close. It'll be just as fast and frenetic as the first playoff game. I know Salford have sold over 2,000 tickets, so I think the attendance is going to be, you know, it's going to be well into five figures. There's going to be a great atmosphere there. You know, Jackson Hastings, One Last Stand, you know. Oh, I mean, you know.
And he's joining Wigan.
Exactly, Robert. You know, if Salford are going to do it, everything's going to, I know we can't, I know you can never say one person makes a team, but trust me, if Salford are going to do it, Jackson Hastings is going to play a big part. But I just think Wigan, home advantage, they're just going to sneak it. And I think it'll be a scoreline of like 22 points to 18.
Yeah, nine levels as well, you know. He had an amazing game against Cass, and, you know, he's an emerging talent. And you know what, funny figure about nine levels, but I would understand.
He's not an emerging talent. If you remember, he burst onto the scene and then they put him to the side for Gareth O'Brien.
And then,
Because they wanted him more of a ball playing. But if you remember what it was, I think 4 years ago, he got Salford's Player of the Year. He's an amazing
carrier.
Doesn't he remind you of Tedesco?
Yeah.
Who got the Daily M this year?
Yeah.
You know, he's just a running threat. He's an attack. Yeah. He doesn't have the catch and release. He doesn't have that ball playing ability. But what he does have, he's got it in bucket loads, and that is the ability to break the line, get upstream, just a constant threat. And you've got to deal with him. He's a bit like the St. Helen wingers. You know, when they're carrying the ball back, you've got to deal with them. They're a threat.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, when we're 18s at Huddersfield, they come train with us, and he started training with us. He played one game for us, and, you know, they sat him down and said, you know what, you're not big enough, you're not really going to grow enough to play at Huddersfield. And they released him and let him go, and he went back to play amateur at Sydal and that, and then now look at him. Because I remember he come and they sent him away and said, nah, he's not big enough, he's not going to be strong enough to make it.
You're big enough, eh? That's the thing. You got to let kids, and I guess this is where the reserve grade comes in. You got to give kids a platform in which they can develop their man muscle, so to speak.
Yeah.
That adult muscle. We've got Harry Jeffrey. I think this is one of your mates, eh? I think he's been in touch before. Salford win against Wigan for me, 18 points to 14, but think they'll come short in the final.
Yeah, I feel the Challenge Cup loss is going to be the bit between Saints' teeth, and that's going to be the fire that drives them to win the league, because I don't think the other teams don't have the quality Saints still.
Would you not argue that Salford's already won? Not the game, I'm talking, they've already won this season.
Yeah, they've won everybody over. They've been putting on the show, and everyone's loved what they're doing, haven't they?
Totally agree. Toronto Wolfpack to beat Featherstone in the Championship Grand Final. Toronto will be in Super League next year. Sorry, Featherstone.
What do you think, Ross?
Do you know what it is? Just for my boy Chase, I hope he does well and gets that promotion. But it's one of them. I feel, Toronto are going to edge it, but, you know, it's not going to be like the London-Toronto game. It's going to be an action pack, but Toronto to go up.
It's going to be a game to watch. Everything you can see on that network, that we can't talk about, but you can watch it on TV anyway or check it out on the radio and updates. Anyway, that's it from us three today. Thank you very much for being with us. We're going to be back next Wednesday and we'll have so much more. See you. Love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.